Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, don't go. It's not easy getting God's presence. Come on, hold on to it. Open your mouth. I just want to hear you shout back to the Lord. And we worship with the angels, and we cry,
encouragement. I bless anyone that's on the line. I thank you. I'm happy to be back after a few weeks hiatus. And the word today is, will you let a dead man rob you? Now, I put the post up on Facebook. I preached about it a few weeks ago, and I reposted it. That anyone that checked it would know what I'm talking about, but I will reiterate to make it clear, anyone that's on the line that wish to call in or wish to give their opinion or that comment. I was coming from Matthew 8:22, and it would be for would-be followers of Jesus. And the entire scripture from 18 to 22 is, now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. A scribe then approached him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, First, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. And what I'll say to you is that when we have our oh God moment, when we have the moment that we decide that what we're doing in our life has not benefited, has not prospered us, and we're maybe at a moment of even a life-threatening moment, and we cry out to God for his help, for his intervention in our situation, and he shows up. And from that moment on, if the person that rescued you from death, the person that rescued you from a life-threatening illness or directed you away from, say, a situation you were about to walk into traffic and you're about to get hit, or you were warned about going down the street and there was a massacre going on, something vital to your life, and someone saved you, you would be inclined to listen to them. You would be inclined to maybe take notice of what they have to say because they have a love for your life. They stopped you from being killed or being wounded or being otherwise hindered, a life-threatening situation. Now, when Christ shows up in our life, those of us that take hold to the principle that Christ is Lord and the Savior, that just like my life when I decided to surrender to him, his word essentially was follow me. But many people have excuses when they have an option to let go of their own pathways, let go of their past life, let go of the things that are familiar to them to follow Christ, which is to put away your will, put away your ego, your pride, the things that have made you maybe stand out in your community, maybe made you stand out in your own mind, stand out to the people around you that idol you, maybe worship you for what you do or for the things you've done that they can identify with. To follow God means to let go of your way, your will, and follow his way. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy spirit, and follow him and love your neighbor as yourself, which is hard for so many to do. When he said, let the dead bury the dead, many people have spoken into your lives and said things to you that crushed your spirit, maybe even taking advantage of you, used you, have molested you and hurt you, or physically, spiritually hurt you, and you won't forgive them. And you're not around them now. You've grown. That God has still allowed you to live. You're still alive and relatively healthy. You may have some issues and some problems that you have to lay down, which is why Christ made the offer to you to let go of the past and forgive. And many of you, when you hear the word forgive and you think about the things that have been done to you, it seems impossible for you. But it's not. You can't imagine the freedom you feel from letting someone go that was dead. If they did things to you that are not honoring God, they hurt you, spoke words to you, did things to you that were not pleasing, and you can recognize that that wasn't a good thing. You recognize that there's another way. You recognize there's some good things. And what they did to you, you recognize that's bad. That means there's the opposite to that. There's a good thing, but maybe you can't see it because a dead man is still holding you hostage. A dead man still has your joy. And when I say dead man, I'm referring to it could be a woman. It could be, it doesn't have to be a man. I'm talking about mankind. The things that people say to you, the things that people keep you bound by because they didn't know God. So, essentially, before a person comes to the knowledge of God, they're dead. Dead to the ways of the Spirit. Dead to the things that can bring them true life and true happiness and true joy. Because happiness is easy to get. People get happy every day, but they get sad at the same time because happy means something is happening. And when it stops happening, people go back to being sad. But God offers you a joy that surpasses all understanding that I can attest to from my testimony, from my life for real. That even though I sometimes, some people that knew me never knew the struggles I was going through, they didn't know their life was good because I still dressed nice, I talk nice, and carry myself in such a way that people wouldn't run away from me. But inside, I was dying. Inside, I didn't have the love of God in me. I couldn't see my way out of my situation. But one day, I seen in the Word of God where it said, if I seek you, if I seek God with my whole heart, I put my burdens down. He said he would restore what the enemy has taken away from, what I've allowed the enemy to take from me, which I've done by my own, following after my own lust, which I've given over to the enemy. I couldn't see God. But one day I had an opportunity because my life was so miserable, I had to look up and say, oh, God, please help me. And that was an offer to follow him and let the dead bury the dead. Because becoming alive in Christ means becoming resurrected. Just as he resurrected dead to life, I was resurrected from a dead spiritual state to alive when I could see beyond what my faults are, I could see beyond what my issues were, and see that, Lord, God gave me a better way. And all I had to do was be obedient, which is hard to do in this world that we live in, because people won't obey what they don't see. They don't obey what they feel they can't put their hands on. But when you come to that place of desperation, where your mother can't help you, physical gifts can't help you, people can't help you with money, they can't help you with their time, because the problem is in you. The enemy sometimes is not even outside of you, it's in you. The things you've taken on, the things you laid hold to that won't benefit you in life, the things you cling to that identify you with the people around you. The Lord said, put those things down. Put the things down you got your hands on. Lay the things down that have encumbered you and follow me. But people come up with excuses. Oh, let me go. I just got one more bill to pay. I got to go back and do this. I got to go back. And as he said, I want to go back and bury my father. His father wasn't dead yet. But the preparation and what he said he had to do, that was more important than letting Jesus go, right, than letting his work or whatever he thought was important go and follow Christ right then. Not knowing that the sustainer, the whatever's in your, whatever you need to have taken care of, it's all in him. It's all in God. It's all in following God, letting it go, and trusting God with your life. He's the one that lets you breathe anyway. With all the things you've been through, with all the things you've suffered through, and put yourself into, you're still breathing. You're still able to walk and move and have your being. That's only God. The devil gives no gifts. The devil gives things to you that you think come from God, but with the right time, he snatches back. There's nothing in it. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Put the things down and follow alive and living God. I just want to know, let you know right now that that Elam Network, which has allowed me to be on, you know, with the different sponsors, and my personal sponsor is a couple who care. That's my wife and I, in terms of what we do and what we've been doing in ministry, and also Eyes Wide Open Hope in Newark, that, you know, are behind what we do and the message that I'm giving, and I'm a minister and a member of Bethel Gospel Assembly in Harlem. So that's just to let you know there's, you know, that I'm connected to, that you can check the things I say and check who I am through these various other entities, and know that, you know, I'm not just popped up one day and just decided to start doing things, that the Holy Spirit is with me and leads and guides me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share on this network. Now, to continue, if anyone wants to call in, the phone number is 657-383-0510. I pray that everything is working, that anyone who wishes to call in can get in. But anyway, I'll continue. That dead things, people that have passed on, people that you're not in contact with, have spoken things and did things to you, but maybe you haven't seen your way fit to forgive them, to understand that they were under attack too, that they maybe didn't have the fullness of the Word of God in them. So they did things that were not godly, not a blessing. But if you're still being bound by those, some of those people are dead and buried, and you're still letting their, what they did to you, keep you bound, that's not good. You have a chance to surrender those things. Let them stay in the grave. Let the dead bury the dead. You're alive in Christ. And you have an opportunity to go further in this life than they called it. They have no sway of your life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And some of those tongues are silent now. So how can you still let them hold your joy, hold your peace, hold your wisdom, hold your future? That they have you speaking and cursing and upset about what they did to you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but you're still here. So obviously, there is a God that looks, that lives high and looks low, and has decided to spare your life and bless you and give you a chance through your opportunities, through the misery that you've been through, an opportunity to minister to someone. You're not the only one that was going through trials and tribulations. God said there would be, it would be hard in this life. that when you accept God, you relive with God, you feel like you're a stranger in many places. That where you, with the things you used to do and the things you used to say, you don't do them anymore. And some of the people that used to hang around you don't accept you because you've changed. Not that makes you better, it just makes you redeemed. That you decide to accept the Lord and follow the spiritual way, follow a better way. Not relying on just what you see and what you hear and what you can touch. Because they are far more with you when you follow God than are against you. In the spirit, you have angels, you have warriors on your side, leading you away from death and destruction that you don't even know about. That in the physical, before you even came to God, he still blessed you. God reigns on the just and the unjust. And sometimes he lets the evil live for a long time that they might come to the knowledge of God and be saved, the knowledge of Christ and be saved. So don't look at another person's blessings and think that's what you desire. You don't know what's going on in another person's life. You don't know what they've been through to bring them to that place of surrender. You don't know what sacrifice they had to make, what tragedy they went through to bring them to that place of, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please come into my life. Hold fast your own blessings. Hold fast to what God has prepared for you. Because God is intentional. His love toward you is specifically for you. His blessings are specifically for you. So I don't lay claim to that. So many ministries we hear right now is just reach up and grab it. And, you know, blessings are yours and great wealth and great material gain. No, no, no. There's some prerequisites along the way to God giving you those things. And if you never get those things and you submit your life to God, it must be for your greater good. Some of you, if you got too much money, too much leisure, you wouldn't do what God has said to do. You would lose sight of your empathy. You would lose sight of what you've been through and forget about it and feel that you've arrived. And that's the problem in many churches right now, that you have many people feel like they've arrived because they've been doing something for 20 years, 10 years. You don't know their testimony. You know what they've been through. That's why me, I plan to do things different to give my testimony, let everything I've been through more or less without, you know, except intimate personal details between me and my wife, things like that. But the intimate details of what I've been through in my life, the struggles I went through, the sin I encountered, the things I grabbed for myself, because there's two tables prepared. There's a table prepared by the Lord. There's a table prepared by the enemy. And many of us snatch things off the table prepared by the enemy because they look better to your eye. If I was to use an analogy of cakes and cookies and the sweet things and the things that attract you, oh, my God, I want that. You go after, you eat your full. You get full and you're like, man, that's the best thing ever. But it won't sustain your life. It's empty calories and things that won't help you, won't help you to grow, won't help you to grow in the spirit, won't help you to get strong and healthy. They make you fat. It makes you unhealthy, high blood pressure, diabetes. But God has things on the table, water, fruits, vegetables. And they're not appealing to the eye right away. I don't want that. It don't look good to me. It don't taste as good as I want to taste. No sugar in it. No salt in it. But they'll help you sustain a long and prosperous life. The Word of God is there to give you life, to give you strength, to give you encouragement. And when it comes to you, because people are sometimes bound by the things that we've encountered, sometimes bound by misery and by the words spoken to you, that dead people have spoken to you, that we don't know what love is, we don't know what the good things are, we don't recognize it and we reject it when we see it at first. But I'm here to bless you today. Hopefully, no one is calling yet. I don't know if everything is working. I'll just make the plea again that the number is 657-383-0510. Press 1 to call in. I pray everything is working. I'm only on my end. I can only speak to you. I don't know what's going on. I don't have anybody that haven't made a comment yet that I can see. I don't know if things are working properly, but please have patience. I pray that something I say is touching you, something I say is beneficial to someone on the line today. But as we continue, that many of you have been bound by things spoken years ago. And I said, today is a good day to shake those things off. Today is a good day to come into a new understanding of your life and its purpose. and that God has created you to live and not die. Not just you, but all people to live and not die. That the way of Christ, if you follow what he said, what he did, it hurts no one. Some people may call us different factions of Christ, because there's so many divisions that may make people not come together in God in one. That if you're Episcopalian, you do church a certain way. You're a Methodist, you do church a certain way. You're a Baptist, you do church a certain way. But the way I see it, when Christ said, follow me, the way, the truth, and the life, he said, follow his way, because he is the truth and the life. Follow what he did. Do what he did. Follow the example he set for you, and you'll be in the will of God. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. Those that come to him must be led by the Spirit to come to him and follow his way. You can't do it without God. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So those of us that have reached that oh God moment, today is a good day to lay your burden down at the foot of the cross and surrender and say that, listen, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you may know a better way to live this life, a better way, loving the Lord thy God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Let the Holy Spirit touch you, that you don't have to do the physical things you used to do. You don't have to touch anybody else in a physical way because they talk about you. They talked about Christ. That didn't change anything. They came against him, and he still didn't come against them. And I'm not saying that you let people victimize you, touch you, no, or hurt you. No, you have wisdom, knowledge, discernment to know when to walk away, know when to defend yourself, and know when to just ignore, because you know who you are. If you know who you are, words won't affect you like that. You can call me anything you choose. I know I'm a child of God. I know what God has done for me. So I won't let your words, dead man words, turn me away from a live God. I won't let what you, your misery and your pain and your anguish that you carry, you can lay down. I won't let that affect my live life in him. I won't let that affect the blessing that God has shown me through being obedient to his word and his ways. I won't let that take me backwards. And neither should you. Those of you that have been through things and you're not living a life that's pleasing to you, you know in yourself, no matter, don't worry about the front you put up for people, the front you put up to make people think that everything is all right, that you say you're blessed and you know you're hurting. You say that you're blessed and you know you're hungry. You say you're blessed and you know you barely have enough clothes to make it through the week. The Lord God says you seek him and seek him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You follow him first. That these things in Matthew, I think it's 33, that he said, if you follow him, you seek him, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. The things that he adds unto you are food, clothing, and shelter. Those are the basics. The basics. And more things will be added unto you as by your obedience, as by your diligence to living out the word of God, not just talking about it, but living it. That's our obligation. If you've been resurrected from dead to life, and you stop letting dead men, dead things, dead accusations hold you hostage, and you take hold of the joy of the Lord, there's a new life ahead of you. I'm just one example, and there's many more besides myself about what God has done in his life, the submitted and obedient life. I'm not special. I'm a man. I don't know where all the scripture verses are. I know the word of God, but I don't know where all the scriptures are. And sometimes it's like, you know, I'm just like you. I'm still learning. Nobody has arrived. Nobody, even if they're a bishop, a deacon, nobody has arrived. We all have the same God to answer to for our day-to-day actions, for what we say, for what we think, for how we act toward other people. To whom much is given, much is required. If you have all this wisdom, all this knowledge from school, and all this knowledge that you brag about, you let people know about, then you have an obligation to treat people better. Then you have an obligation to humble yourself and use all the knowledge, all the blessing that God has given you, the life, breath, and strength that God has given you to be a better person. To show those who don't know the way, the sick and the humble and the poor among you, because God said the poor will always be among us, to show them a better way. To come down off your pedestal. Because only one should be exalted, and that's God. So if you're not God, come down off your pedestal and walk among those who need help. Bless those who need help. The poor among us, that means poor in spirit, poor in physical wealth, poor in understanding. We all have a job to do. There's no unemployment in Christ. There's always a job for you that are obedient. There's always a job for you that love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor. That's the love of your neighbor, giving what you have. It's not money, it's time. It's not time, it's prayer. If you have the blessings to feed and clothe, do that. Do what God has purposed you to do. Don't let the dead hold you hostage. And bring the dead to life. He said greater things we would do even than Christ did. That doesn't mean we're more exalted over Christ. It means that he's given us the ability through the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, through the testimony, through the blood of the Lamb, his sacrifice, and the word of our testimony, to bring others to life, to bring them out of a dead state, to bring them out of a situation of bondage, to bring them out of a situation of hopelessness to a new life in Christ. Example by you. Watch what you say. Watch how your day-to-day walk is. Don't be one way inside, another way outside. Live this life. Embrace it. Hold on tightly to the word of God, that it may bring you solace and bring you strength in your time of need. That God, that's an awesome responsibility to have the word of God in you. An awesome responsibility to call yourself a disciple of God, disciple of Christ, a follower of his way. It's an awesome responsibility. And it's not just about you. That because of your love and your obedience, many will be blessed. God says, you are obedient to the word of God. He'll bless your entire family. And I can honestly say that through the obedience of me and my wife to the way of God, to helping others, to being a blessing to others, not turning people away, to not letting our convenience get in the way of our conviction, that we find time to bless those, find time to open up our home, find time to go see about the sick, to shut in those that need to see God in action. We're the hands and the feet and the will of God on earth. That's our responsibility. I accept the cross. So, as I'm moving up on the end of my time with you, so a few more minutes, I get the number out again, 657-383-0510, and I pray that whatever is holding back people from making the call, I pray that next week it'll be rectified. But I thank God for allowing me to share. I thank God for his life, breath, his grace, his mercy, that I'm able to share in this venue and on Facebook. Because usually what I give on Facebook, I'll give a sermon or a word on Facebook, and it'll be what we follow on Tuesday. So I don't know who's on the line and who I reached today and who got blessed and who tried to get in and couldn't. I say, please have patience. Don't charge it to me. It's the technical difficulties that the devil is in the world when he tries to stop the word from getting to those who need to hear it. So recognize that we serve a living God, but there's hindrances, there's things among the way. So I thank you for allowing me to share today. I thank for anyone that heard my word today. I know it'll be available tomorrow, I believe, and I'll be able to post it on Facebook. And I pray that whoever they get through, don't get discouraged. You can reach out to me on Facebook also. I love you. Praise God for your life. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all those I've been able to reach, all those that, Lord, attempted to get in, and all those that, Lord, that you blessed their lives today, that it is midday word of encouragement. You give them encouragement to take them to the rest of the day, that your will be done in their lives. May eyes be open, ears would be open to hear. But thus says the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Have a blessed and pleasant day. Thank you. Amen.